This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
And later on, highlights from the Money for Jobs, Not for War rally.
But now, House Republicans threatened to shut down the government over federal funding for Planned Parenthood. After weeks of federal budget negotiations, the focus shifted from economic issues to a particular rider that would eliminate all government funding to Planned Parenthood through the Title X Family Planning Program. Conservatives are targeting Planned Parenthood because some of its clinics provide abortions, even though those abortions make up less than 3% of Planned Parenthood services and federal money is not used to pay for abortions. Services.
In effect, what was proposed by the House of Representatives is to say that women can no longer go to Planned Parenthood to get their cancer screenings, to get their birth control, to get any kind of services through federal programs. We're joined by Lisa Lynn Jacobs, Vice President of Government Relations for Legal Momentum, formerly now Legal Defense and Education Fund.
Lisa, I know we have a young one in the background, and they might as well participate. I guess they're going to, whether we want them to or not.
Well, I think they're as outraged as the rest of us.
They should be. They're going to inherit this fiasco. But please, tell us your analysis and understanding of both the culture wars, what really did occur, even though there wasn't an immediate defunding of Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood was squarely in the crosshairs. And in fact, the deal under which Title X funding was not affected was about the last one that was struck, probably with about an hour and a half before the federal government shut down late Friday night. But as we all know, we have been operating since last fall under a series of continuing resolutions. The House Republicans have made very clear their distaste for Planned Parenthood and all of its programming, although much of their rhetoric has centered on abortion. And their supporters were really pushing them to make the Title X funding a make-or-break aspect of the most recent continuing resolution. So they took us to the brink of a shutdown with a demand that Title X funding be stripped from the federal budget. And with that would have gone Planned Parenthood and all of the essential services that it provides, whether or not it is primary care for any significant number of women, or whether or not it is screening for breast cancer or pap smears or STD treatment or STD screening. Women's health was significantly hanging in the balance, and the president and his negotiating team that at the end of the day, they did not accede to the demands that Planned Parenthood's funding and that Title X funding be cut. But what people should be very clear on is that the District of Columbia did lose the right to pay for abortions with their own funding. They also saw a program for D.C. school vouchers that the city opposed restored. It is also possible that a needle exchange program, which is very important in the District of Columbia, which has a very high HIV rate, it is very likely that that needle exchange program is going to be lost as well.
Now, this was also central to negotiations a few weeks ago to close the gap, which was closed at a much smaller level. I would assume that you think and others think that this will be a continuing assault by the Republicans on funding for Planned Parenthood and other providers.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, certainly the funding for abortion in the District of Columbia and, in fact, the Title X funding is a relative drop in the bucket. With these repeated attacks on Planned Parenthood and Title X funding, this really is an ideologically based attack rather than one which is really about the budget as heretofore been claimed.
Women are clearly under the budget knife. It's not dissimilar in some ways from what's going on with Governor Walker in Wisconsin, where under the guise of budget, what's really being attacked is the very power, the collective bargaining rights of labor in Wisconsin.
Right.
So what is really the nature of how severe, how problematic are both the economics of these cuts and the politics and control of women, which is terribly frightening?
Women clearly are very much in the crosshairs, but I think that there was also a focus on the release of the budget for the coming year. Congressman Ryan released his budget. And there really was a significant impact, not only with regard to programs which are crucial for women, but programs which are crucial for low-income and working poor folks of our nation. Whether or not it is a proposal to block grant Medicaid, or whether or not it is drastic cuts to Medicare, and additional proposals, not surprisingly, for tax cuts for the wealthy and for business. There seems to be a concerted attempt by the people currently in control of the House to act in ways which are adverse to women's interests and are adverse to the interests of the poor.
I look at things like the Women, Infants, and Children Feeding Program and the Maternal and Health Child Health Block Grant and the abolition of Women's Educational Equity Program. These right. all seem to be moving us back to undo years of progress for women right. and to make poor women in particular stay poor or be reduced even further back down the economic ladder.
And also under attack are Pell Grants, which are the grants which enable many people to climb up the rungs and attain higher education. Also under attack are Head Start and other public school programs. Women are just short of 50% of people in the workforce or entering the workforce. Under severe attack are training programs of the Department of Labor, programs of the Department of Education designed to help people, particularly in these economically troubled times, who are marginally employed or unemployed, get a footing, get the kind of training that they need to be viable and competitive in this new economy. Those kinds of programs are under attack as well and will disproportionately affect women and affect poor women, women who may have stopped out of the workforce to raise children, women who may be divorced, women who are recipients of TANF or other low-income programs who need that kind of training or those educational opportunities in order to be able to get a foothold and to climb up the rungs in society.
I wanted to ask you about TANF, what we used to call welfare, because that was something that President Clinton deformed back when he tried to move to the right. Just recently in New York State, the governor delayed or abolished an increase in TANF payments due to budget cuts. What's happening with TANF, and how is that involved in this whole mess with regard to budget cuts?
TANF is, its acronym is Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, and it really is a safety net program focused on the poorest of the poor, who are somewhere in the realm of 200% below the poverty line. TANF was slated to be reauthorized last year when the president signed the bill that provided an additional year of unemployment insurance benefits to people who so desperately needed that in December. He also extended funding for TANF to the end of this fiscal year, September 30th of this year. So the expectation is that Congress will reauthorize it. The hope is that they will reauthorize it. Much less clear, given some of the other proposals coming out of the House of Representatives, is the question of whether or not the reform will be a good and needed one in this economy. Because what we know about TANF is that it has been dysfunctioning in this economy. The TANF rolls, while they have risen modestly, have not risen to the significant levels that one would expect given this economic downturn and given that people who are far more skilled than people who receive TANF are not able to get a foothold or find adequate employment or employment supports in this economy, we know that TANF has not been responding in a way that corresponds with the need for that kind of support. While we are hopeful that TANF will be reauthorized, we are worried. We are greatly disturbed as well, because one of the other things that was definitely implicated in Congressman Ryan's budget last week and targeted for major cuts is the food stamps program. So to the extent that that, too, is another safety net program which people really desperately rely on in the context of this fragile economy, we can't help but be concerned about what might be the fate of the TANF program if it were to be reauthorized by this Congress, or at least by this House of Representatives.
I think there's another area, and in the huge cuts in housing help to homeless families, and four out of
yes.
five of those families are headed by single mothers. And then, of course, there's the public schools. So this is another way of directly impacting on the well-being and the growth and development economically, et cetera, of women.
I was talking about Pell Grants before, particularly in this economy, with people struggling to get some additional education or training that might allow them to be more competitive, you see that community colleges really are absorbing a lot of the people who are first looking for turning to someplace, looking for higher education, and particularly the people who are disproportionately turning to community colleges and correspondingly looking for Pell Grants or other kinds of supports, which are now in jeopardy. I think that that population particularly is disproportionately female.
So we have so many issues that specifically attack women, but what exactly is on the horizon next? Will the Democrats, will Obama hold the fort around the specific funding provisions for Planned Parenthood?
This was a hard-fought battle, but of course the fact that ground was conceded with respect to the District of Columbia and funding for abortion will certainly heighten the appetite of foes of Planned Parenthood to come back again and see if they can get more concessions. I do not believe that Planned Parenthood is in jeopardy at this point, but we fairly well have a framework in place for fiscal 10. But, you know, the discussions are immediately going to turn to fiscal 11, and that is what Congressman Ryan's budget is about. And this whole discussion about fiscal 11 has just been the initial shot over the bow. I cannot help but expect that there will be more challenges to women's programming. We haven't discussed at all the fact that one of the other proposals in the context of this continuing resolution was to defund the new health care law, which had significant improvements with respect to health care provision for women. They had provisions in it banning discrimination in the provision of health insurance for women. And there were so many other improvements with respect to the provision of health care that women will enjoy, because that was another place where the administration held the line against the Republican incursion. But I fully expect that we will see more.
Well, Lisa Lynn Jacobs, Vice President of Government Relations for Legal Momentum, and the young one who's in the background, who was a full and equal participant in this discussion, because they have a lot on the line. We thank
Absolutely.
You very much for
Whether
joining us. And we're going to pay close attention. We've been speaking again with Lisa Lynn Jacobs. Well, this past weekend, thousands of protesters attended the largest national anti-war protest in years. New York City's rally juxtaposed the Democrats and Republicans haggling over budget proposals that, in any event, slashed billions in life-sustaining programs.
As the rally organizers stated, Head Start, Medicare, Medicaid are being threatened, but there's always money for another war. But if we brought the troops home now, the deficit could be wiped out in a heartbeat. The demonstration represented a renewal of the anti-war movement.
We'll bring the highlights of the demonstration against the war to you right now.
Money for jobs and education! Money for jobs and education!
I want to welcome you to the new revitalized anti-war movement. My name is Joe Lombardo. I am a co-chair of the United National Anti-War Committee, UNAC, which initiated this demonstration. To protest the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Libya. We understand that this phony war on terror has a domestic component, and that is the attacks on Muslims that have taken place all across this country. And we stand with our brothers and sisters in the Muslim community and say no, no, never. As we understand that they can spend trillions for war, yet they want to shut down government in this country. They want to attack unions, stop collective bargaining. We say no, never. And we are an anti-war movement that will stand from now on with our brother and sisters in Palestine.
Abdul Malik Mushahed is the founding chairman of Sound Vision Foundations.
Assalamu alaikum. Are you with me? As we gather here 44 years after Dr. King's Riverside speech, I wonder if he would ask why his dreams are once again turning into nightmare. We are here to say no to the nightmares. And we are here today to say yes to American dream, which must be for all. Which America is not number one in packing its prisons with its poor and its strangers. An America where working people can bargain. Let's work for an America where billionaires also pay taxes and cannot buy our politician. Are you with me? An America which does not bomb the poorest of the poor for the service of the richest and the richest. War, terrorism, Islamism, Islamophobia are all one evil triplet. We oppose all of them. Let's unite against war at home and war abroad. Are you with me? Let's not turn against each other. Let's not detain our undocumented workers and children in the burning sands of Arizona. Are you with me? Let's build a nation where justice prevails. Today we arrest a Muslim and tell him your evidence is secret. My brothers and sisters, tell me, can you defend yourself when your evidence is secret? Is it justice? Are you with me? Let's work together. Let's struggle together.
Our next speaker, Mary Richmond, president of the Capital District National Organization for Women. We are America, not those people who mask their greed to take more than their share. I will not accept the America that we show the rest of the world. We are currently in 5 wars: Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and the largest war, class war. 1/2 of our federal budget goes to corporations that profit from war. They allow systematic racism, sexism, homophobia. They've made poverty a crime. While we pay taxes, large corporations get away with not paying anything. The American people need to hold them accountable. As Republican leader John Boehner stands up and makes remarks to the National Life Convention and Natural Right to Life Convention in Pittsburgh, saying that it's okay for us to take the rights away from women to choose. We need to choose. We need to stand up and say that killing doctors who allow women the right to choose is wrong. It's domestic terrorism. Of all the women that have lost jobs in this recession, post-recession, 99.6% are single heads of household women. We need to take democracy back into our hands. Next up is Vonnie Burrows. An award-winning Broadway actress, created 8 one-woman shows, and all that's been intertwined with a life of activism in the fight against war and racism, sexism, and economic oppression.
Call me a cultural worker. That's what I am. And that's what we all are. We are workers, and we are one with the people of Egypt, of Yemen, of Palestine. We are one in opposing the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. We are one with the 5 million people of Libya who in the first days of the humanitarian military action were attacked by 161 Tomahawk cruise missiles. Each cruise missile cost more than $1 million. So, in the first few days of the combined United States and UK military assault on Libya, the cost to us taxpayers was 250 million dollars. Compared to the $2 billion a week in Afghanistan, that is chump change. Before leaving the Libya scenario, let us remind ourselves of the bottom line in our capitalist society. The bottom line is money, not more wages for the laborer, but greater profits. In this instance, oil is the real reason for our militaristic Libyan expeditions. The imperial conqueror is lusting after black gold, oil, with the control of the vast reserves of oil. Now, the newly created unified military command, AFRICOM, is leading the charge with our sinister machinations in Libya specifically and Africa in general. We speak truth to power. We are one.
Vijay Prashad, the author of 11 books, most recently the award-winning title, The Darker Nations, A People's History of the Third World.
The future is ours because the present is unbearable. The present is unbearable because of the habits of war. There are habits of war because the property prefer to spend our surplus for their wars. They prefer to use our surplus to manage the turbulence of a system that is congenitally turbulent. The system is congenitally turbulent because the property own everything and we work for them. They prefer to spend on war because if they spent on public education, public health, public transport, they fear that we will create a culture of solidarity. And they fear a culture of solidarity more than anything else. They prefer a culture of war and a culture of distrust. Afghanistan, Iraq, Palestine, and Libya. Many of our friends are confused about Libya. But believe me, that is an imperialist war as much as the war in Iraq, as the war in Afghanistan. There is nothing confusing about Libya. Libya is an imperialist war. The future is ours because the present is unbearable. Down with the present, long live the future. Down with the present, long live the future.
Omar Barghouti is a founding member of the Palestinian Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel. Give it up for our special guest from Palestine, Omar Barghouti.
The question of Palestine is not a distant issue in this country. Those last few days, Palestinians in the besieged and occupied Gaza Strip have lost their lives. Many have been maimed. They were bombed by U.S. weapons, U.S. airplanes. It's your tax money that's doing the killing, the maiming, and the dispossession in our country. Our oppression has, made in the USA, written all over it. When we ask you to end all U.S. aid to Israel, it is basic human decency and a moral obligation to end your partnership in crime. But in order to push government and Congress to end all aid to Israel, we need to build a movement from the grassroots up, like we did during the South Africa anti-apartheid struggle. We've got to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. Israeli companies, U.S. companies, international companies that are doing business with Israel and profiting from our oppression. There are many groups involved in this country. Adala New York, Jewish Voice for Peace, International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network, many Muslim groups, and most importantly, tens of wonderful, inspiring campaigns on U.S. campuses that are divesting from Israel. I wish you Egypt, so you can, like the Tunisians, the Egyptians, and certainly the Palestinians, say no, we do not want to select the least wrong answer. We want another choice altogether that's not on your damned list. Given the choice between slavery and death, we unequivocally opt for freedom and dignified life. I wish you Egypt, so you can collectively rebuild your societies to reset the rules so as to serve the people, not savage capital and its banking arm, to end racism and discrimination, to cut wars and war crimes, not jobs, benefits, and public services, to invest in education and healthcare, not in weapons, to overthrow the repressive, tyrannical rule of multinationals, and to get the hell out of Afghanistan, Iraq, and everywhere else
were under the guise of spreading democracy. Your self-righteous crusades have spread death, social and cultural disintegration, poverty and hopelessness. Our oppression and yours are deeply interrelated and intertwined. After Egypt, it is our time. It is time for Palestinian freedom and justice. It is time for all the working people of the world, particularly the most exploited and downtrodden, to reassert our common humanity and reclaim control over our common destiny. I wish you Egypt.
I have the honor of introducing Teresa Gutierrez, who's a member of the May 1st Immigrant Rights Coalition, translating for Victor Toro's spouse. Victor Toro is a co-founder of La Peña del Bronx, a Chilean activist facing deportation and a member of the May 1st Coalition.
Sí se puede! Sí se puede! Estamos en tiempo de guerra, las guerras domésticas y las guerras internacionales. Pero todos los que estamos aquí estamos contra la guerra, contra las injusticias, contra las deportaciones, contra todo lo que nos oprime, contra este sistema.
We are at a time of war abroad and a war here at home against the people. But everybody that is here is united to fight against the wars and to struggle for justice.
Llamamos a la unidad. Todos aquí somos inmigrantes de una u otra forma. Nuestros abuelos y bisabuelos han sido inmigrantes.
Struggle for unity because most of the people in this country are immigrants. Most of us have grandparents that came from other places.
Y hacemos un llamado a la unidad para que el primero de mayo, aquí en esta misma plaza, marchemos contra las deportaciones, contra los indocumentados.
We make a call to you for unity. March on May Day, May 1st, right here at Union Square, to march for immigrant and workers' rights.
Así que pedimos que vengan y participen. Y le decimos al señor Obama que él viaja con su suegra, con su mujer, con sus hijos. Nosotros no queremos que dividan nuestra familia.
I urge you to come here on May Day to send a message to Obama, who gets to travel with his families wherever he wants to. We urge you to come here and march to demand the Obama administration to stop dividing our families.
Y con toda la fuerza de la historia, a parar las guerras, a parar las injusticias, a parar las deportaciones, a parar toda la criminalidad en Santiago y en este país.
We have history on our side. We will stop all the wars and we will win justice.
Nosotras y nosotros sí podemos. Sí se puede.
Yes,
sí,
we
se
can.
Puede. Sí se puede. Sí se puede. Adelante.
Sí se puede.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.